I want to read from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Short reading. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. I want to preach just a short few moments here, very simple message. I apologize in advance if you came looking for a deep scriptural, spiritual, wow, that'll be next Sunday. It won't be today, so I apologize in advance. Very simple thought, just a tree. Just a tree. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for what we feel, for what you've done. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this place. You've orchestrated everything, our attendance, everyone that's in this place. Nothing surprises you. Nothing is not as you have planned it. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister to everyone in this house today. Whatever their need would be, God, that you would touch them, minister to them. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. I would ask you in your prayer time to remember some special needs. Remember what we call UPGs, unreached people groups. These are groups of people within nations, some within borders, some that transcend several. There's some groups of people there in 14 different countries. They don't really belong to any country, but they're in part of these. They're unreached people groups, thousands of them, and millions of people pray and help us to reach them. However we can do that, we want to focus on sending missionaries to some of these unreached people groups within nations, or again, they transcend and they're in three or four different nations. Some logistical challenges and things, but our goal is to reach the world, and we're going to work with our national works the best we can to get that done. Pray with us for regional missionaries. We can't always send U.S. or Canadian citizens into countries. There are places where it's prohibited. They will not allow them to get in for political reasons, for whatever. But we can get people from other nations in. And we have other countries who are sending missionaries. They're not sent by us. We applaud what they're doing, but we don't send them. There's regional commissions through our global council. They appoint them and send them. And some of these national churches are completely funding them. We don't send them any money. We don't give them any money. So pray for our regional missionaries. We need thousands of them to go places around the world, to get into some of our access-challenged and closed nations. Let me just say this. I'll be very careful, but I will say this. There are access-challenged nations, and there are some nations that are considered closed to the gospel. I have been in a few of those, and we were in a particular one where it is prohibited to have churches. Last time I checked, we have 75 churches. My wife and I were in a country, very closed. I won't give any more details, very closed. But we got to be in two of the three churches. But you can't have churches. It's prohibited. It's illegal. It's against the law. My wife and I got to be in two of the three churches that we do have in that nation. So pray for your access challenge, your closed nations. Pray for these regional missionaries. God is doing amazing things. I wish I could share a bunch more. I don't have time certainly for that, but it is exciting. This is the greatest time ever to be alive and to be part of the church and to be used in what God is doing. So pray for us. Pray for those needs. Pray for Pentecost every day. We believe 3,000 people to get baptized in Jesus' name every day around the world. That will be 1 million souls. The last 3 years we did it. I believe we can do it in two. I believe we can do it in one. I believe we can see even greater growth than that. We need it. The world needs it. The world needs it, and we're going to get it in Jesus' name. Praise God. The story that we read, this portion of the scripture, Moses and the burning bush, it's one of the most well-known stories in the Bible, one of the They make cartoons about it. They made movies about it. If you watch movies or not, they have a couple of movies about it. But anyway, a lot of preaching about it, the burning bush, Moses, a lot of what happened and this and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, generally, and I've done it, and it's not that it's wrong, when we preach about this portion, we talk about the calling of Moses and how God ordered his steps and his direction. We could do that, and it would be great. We talk about the will of God and the revelation of God. We talk about all those things, and those are good things. And obviously, we just don't have time to do all of that today. But that's not really what I want to talk about today. I really want to talk about the bush. Now, I thought about titling this, Brother John's, The Chosen. But I didn't want any copyright infringement, or some of you will get that tomorrow. That's okay. Some of you don't care, but anyway. So I didn't call it The Chosen. Just a tree. So what I want to focus, and I'm going to call it a tree, not necessarily a bush, because in all probability, it was likely an acacia tree, which is not like, so I'm from South Louisiana. We have these oak trees that are huge, like huge oak trees. I don't know, but I'm told they're hundreds of years old. I guess I trust it. I don't have any reason not to believe them. I don't really know, but they say they're hundreds of years old. They're huge. They're big around. They got moss everywhere. Yeah, that's the kind of trees. This was nothing like that. Think more West Texas, mesquite. That's kind of what Moses saw here. The acacia, it's not this huge, beautiful. Now, where we live in Missouri, we have walnut trees. We have maple trees, tall, pretty. Certainly not like these oak trees going out, just kind of more up and down. Makes great firewood. It's easier to split than that. We do have the white oaks, which are easier than the live oaks, etc. But the acacia tree, it's thorny. It's got some thorns. It doesn't have a little. It's got thorns on it, some big thorns on it. Not necessarily you would look at it and say, wow, that's a beautiful tree. It's more scrub than it is symmetrical. And in truth, it's uglier than it is pretty. That's probably not good grammar, but anyway, that's what I'm explaining and describing it as. So I'm going to call it a tree instead of just a bush. So at this encounter, what we read, God in this amazing encounter, he's speaking to Moses. Now, there's a lot wrapped up in here. I could talk about holiness. I'm not going to. I could talk about God's call. I could talk about giving up. There's a lot of things, surrender. There's a lot packaged in here, but I'm not going to necessarily do that today. God reveals himself to Moses. He reveals his plan. He reveals what he's going to do. And to me, one of the greatest things that he says is, Moses, I want to use you. I'm going to tell you, and I used to teach in the Bible school in El Salvador, if you're called to the ministry, don't stoop to be a king. God's calling is the highest calling in the world. I respect my political leaders. I pray for them, whether I agree with them or not. Whoever's in office, from the top down to local, I pray for my political leaders. I don't agree with any of them all the time. Here's the truth. I don't agree with myself all the time. If you're honest, well, let me just keep preaching here. But I pray for my political leaders. But I would never want their positions. It would be a step down from what I'm doing right now. I'm a minister of God's word. I'm a preacher. I've been a pastor, a teacher. I'm in leadership right now. That's my ministry. That's my calling. That's my role. That's what I fulfill. I would never stoop to be the president of the United States, with all due respect. I have the highest call that exists. And if God has called you to do anything in his kingdom, That's the highest call. That's the highest thing you're ever going to have in your life. You could have your degrees. You could have your career. That's all beautiful, wonderful, etc. But the highest thing is for God to call you and get you involved in his ministry. Now, the Bible tells us that Moses looked, behold, the bush burned, but it wasn't consumed. And when Moses saw that, then he said, I'm going to turn aside and I'm going to see what is happening. Here's another little freebie, and you could catch it later. God did not give any revelation to Moses until Moses turned aside. Too many of you, just hear me today. God is trying to get your attention, but you've got your own plans. You've got your own way. You've got your own things. Until you turn aside to what God is saying, to what he's speaking, to what he wants to do, you're never going to find his will for your life. That was for free. What caught Moses' attention was not necessarily the tree that was on fire. What caught his attention, that it burned, but it wasn't consumed. That was weird. That was different. That wasn't the norm. And so once he turned aside, then God began to speak. God said, take your shoes off, because I don't want what's made by man to come between you and me. I made your flesh, Moses, and I made this ground, and I want there to be a connection. I don't want your man-made shoes in between us, because I'm about to give revelation. That's another freebie for later. So here's my question. Here's the point of my message. Why did God use this tree? Was it the most beautiful acacia around? Was it the most symmetrical? Was it the ugliest? I mean, when you look at things that God has used, I mean, there's a lot of options here. God used heathen kings at times to accomplish his will. He will accomplish what he wants to get done. Praise God. Why did God choose this particular tree? Did it have some special characteristics? Was it the oldest? Was it the newest? Was one side of it chopped off for firewood? Did it have the most scars? Had animals messed with it? What was the reason? What was the thing? Now, the Bible is pretty much silent, so I can't really describe the tree. It doesn't say how big it was or small it was, what it looked like or didn't look like. It doesn't give us any of that stuff. It doesn't give us the characteristics. It doesn't go into any of that stuff. What we do know, and this is Bible, what we do know is that this tree was used by God. That's what we know. We don't understand the characteristics, the size, the look, the shape. We don't understand all that. I don't think God is interested in that. I do not believe that it was chosen because it was the prettiest, because it was the oldest, or the youngest, or the newest, the tallest, the shortest. I don't believe there was any of those things. And the truth is, in the wilderness where Moses was, there were those trees. I'm not saying it was like a forest, because it wasn't. But there were thousands of them that God could have chosen. There was probably a better looking one that God could have chosen, no doubt. There was probably a more symmetrical one. There was probably one with less thorns, or whatever characteristic you want to focus in on that God could have used. Now, God could have sent an angel in a chariot of fire, blowing a trumpet. He could have sent 1,000 angels. He could have sent an army of angels. Moses, this is what you got. This is what's going with you to Egypt. But he has a little tree on fire. And it's interesting. Moses is all scared, and God's like, Moses is like, well, what are you going to do? He said, what's in your hand? I'm not preparing you with this great army, Moses. You already got what you need, and we're going to go from there. God could have used anything to talk to Moses and speak to Moses, but he used a tree that was on fire. This is why I believe God chose this tree. Now, this is deep. You people taking notes, you probably want to get your pen ready or your thing ready. It's going to amaze some of you. No, I'm not part of Mensa. You probably think it after I say this. The reason I believe God used that tree was because that tree was close to where Moses was. I don't think it was for the beauty of the tree, for the size of the tree, for the history of the tree, for the characteristics of the tree, for the future of the tree. I don't believe there was any reason. The Bible doesn't give us a reason. I don't believe there was anything about the tree that made it special that God would say, oh, I want to use this one instead of that one or that one or that one or that one. The only reason God used that tree is because it was close to Moses. It was in the proximity of Moses. And God is here today looking for people that can say, I just want to be a tree. I just want to be close to the lost. I just want to be close to someone that needs God. I told you it's not a deep message. But God is just looking for a tree today. God is looking for someone that's willing to say, Lord, reveal yourself through me to those who are hungry. Reveal yourself to those who are thirsty. Reveal yourself to those who are searching. Use me, God. Because I'm going to tell you this. If we do not let God use us, he will choose somebody else. He will get somebody else. He used a donkey. He used ravens. He used a widow. He can use anybody or anything he wants to use. God is not so interested in your talents, in our abilities, in our history, our pedigree. Oh, I come from this family. Look at me. Let me tell you, I don't come from a preacher family. I don't even come from an apostolic family. I come from a good Southern Baptist family. God bless the Southern Baptist. I got in church when I was 15 years old. Thank God. Thank God somebody reached out to me. Thank God somebody shared God with me. God is not, what we have and what we do is wonderful, it's great, etc. But God is not so interested in what we think are our abilities and our strong points. God's not saying, okay, line up and give me your resumes. Let's see if I can use you. The fact that he could use a donkey gives me hope. You may be beyond that. That gives me hope. He used heathen kings. There's hope for me. When I don't obey God, when I'm rebellious, when I'm not faithful to God, there's still hope for me, and there's hope for you. The truth is, God is just looking for a tree. See, when we present our resume, we present the good stuff. We've been hiring people at headquarters and global missions for some positions, and everybody puts their resume, what they've done, their accomplishments, how long they've been here, what they did, the things, the software they know how to run, the classes they've taken, the certificates, the degrees. They list all the good stuff. I've yet to see somebody list their failures. But God knows our failures. He knows our weakness. He knows where we messed up. He knows where we're not strong. He understands. On the flip side of that, that's why he doesn't really care about your pedigree. He doesn't really care about all that you've accomplished. He's just looking for someone who is willing, for someone who is there, for someone that says, Lord, use me. You know the famous verse in Isaiah chapter 6. Oh, who will I send and who will go? Lord, here am I. The problem is we misquote that a lot. Well, Brother Slayton, I know how to quote it. You may know how to quote it, but we live it out a different way. This is how we quote what it says. Here am I, send me. But we live it out. Here am I, send them. When we were in El Salvador, we had so many people say, I do not know how you can live here. I wanted to say, I don't know how you could live where you live. You got a church of 11 people, and you've only had 11 for the last 20 years. It's about to get real quiet. I have 1,300 people in my church. We baptized 400 last year. I love living here. We just saw 4,000 people get the Holy Ghost in our general conference. I love living here. When God calls us, we go where he calls us. Lord, if it's just a tree, I don't need to be famous. I don't need to be big time. I don't need to be well known. I don't have a pedigree. Lord, I forget all that stuff. Lord, I'm just a tree. And if you could use me, if you could let your fire burn inside of me, because here's the truth. Again, it's so simple. I'm leaving tomorrow. Well, if there's air traffic controllers, I'm leaving. We left Chicago yesterday, and when we landed in Atlanta, I got a note on my phone that Chicago was shut down because of air traffic control. Well, I'm glad we made it. It'd have been quite a drive. I'm leaving tomorrow if the Lord wills. Everything's good, we're leaving. But there are people that you go to school with. There are people that you live near. There are family members you have interaction with. There are coworkers that you deal with. There are people at the local gas station that you go to all the time. At the local restaurant that you frequent. At the grocery store, you see the cashier. You see the person that bags the groceries. You see these people over and over and over again. Those are people that you're near. Those are people that I don't know. I'm never going to know. I'm not going to reach them. I don't have the ability to reach them. But you do, because God has placed them in your life. This is not rocket science. This is not a great deep thing here. God is simply looking for a tree, just a tree. Someone that's saying, God, use me to reach my coworkers. Use me to reach people in my neighborhood. Use me to reach people I go to school with. Use me to reach the people in the restaurant that I frequent. God, I just want to be a tree. Because we get it all messed up. We want to be the big thing. We want to be. And sometimes we don't let God use us because we think being used of God means being behind this pulpit. It does, but that's not the only thing it means. If you ever had the opportunity to pastor, you would understand that what happens behind here is a minuscule amount of a pastor's time. But what happens here stands on everything the pastor does leading up to this moment. All the prayer, all the fasting, all the visitation, all the counsel, all the work, all the questions. Yeah, all of that is what this right here stands on. But too many people feel, well, if I'm not preaching, if I'm not the leader, then I'm not used of God. You need to reject that from your mind. God wants to use everyone in this place. And I believe that the Holy Ghost is affirming calls in this service. That God has called some of you to a specific ministry. And he's affirming that today. Reject the mindset that you're not good enough. Reject the mindset that there are others that are better than you. Reject the mindset that I can't do it. Well, that's sort of right because you have to have God to do it. Well, I've preached in 80 countries. I've preached to thousands. I've preached to 30,000, 40,000 people in a stadium. I've seen 30,000 plus receive the Holy Ghost. I'm an ordained minister with the United Pentecostal Church International. I'm an official. I'm an elected official. But I won't meet your coworker tomorrow. I won't meet your family member over Thanksgiving. I won't be with you when you go to get gas next week. But you will. God, I just want to be a tree. I want to be near the people that are looking for you. And I want the flame of the Holy Ghost to burn that they can see. And they can say, I want to see what this great sight is. I'm intrigued. There's something different about your life. You don't talk like other people. There's just something in your countenance. Something is different. It's not because we're these great people. It's not because we're awesome citizens. It's because we have the Holy Ghost. It's because the Spirit of God is in us and it's manifesting. God's not looking for great preachers. He's not looking for great orators. He's looking for people that can just be a tree. He uses the instrument that's available. You've heard it said a million times. Availability is way more important than ability. God needs your availability. And with your availability, he can give you the ability to do what he wants you to do. Naaman had leprosy. It's a bad situation back then. Captain of the Syrian army. He went into Israel and took a little slave girl. Captured her. Took her from her family. Now, I don't know what it was like being a slave back then, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was not great. There was no human rights watch. There was none of this. I mean, you're a slave. You do whatever. Whenever, under whatever conditions, it was not pretty. She's a slave in Naaman's household. Now, most of us would be, that sucker, he took me from my family. Yeah, I'm a prize of war. He's got leprosy? Well, just die and hurt. That's how most of us would think. But this little servant girl said, by the way, Naaman, in my country, there's a man of God. You know the story. He goes 7 times. He's healed. Whoa, this is amazing. She didn't get anything out of it. She didn't get any money. The Bible doesn't say anything. Let me just leave it there. But she didn't do it because I'm going to get money or I'm going to get gold or I'm going to get better clothes. She just did it. Why did God use that young servant slave girl? Because she was close to Naaman. The king wasn't. Other people weren't. She was. So Brother Sladen, okay, when are you going to get to the deep part? Well, that was it. Because we can complicate it so much. Now, I live this way. I'm not advocating it. And certainly if your pastor teaches something different, he's right and I'm wrong. I've always pursued anything that God asked me to do, that I felt in God, this needs to be done. I'm not the guy waiting to be told to go do something. Like, I'm going to go do it. I'm kind of like Peter. I know you didn't ask me, but I just think it needs to be done, so I'm going to go do it. If God doesn't want me to do it, he has to stop me from doing it. That's how I live my life. If God doesn't want me doing this, then because I'm not going to stop until he stops me. I'm going to pursue the work of God and the kingdom of God. But so many times, we can complicate it. Well, God, I didn't see in the clouds. I asked you that at 2:11 p.m. that the clouds would part and that four planes would come through the middle. Well, then I'm not going to be a missionary. Well, duh. Right. And if he did it, you would probably pass out. Well, God, I can't teach a Bible study because you didn't wake me up. I asked you to wake me up at a certain time. I asked you to bless me with a lot of money. None of that happened, so I can't teach Bible studies. We get it so convoluted. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Reaching souls, however we do it, is the will of God. If you pick up somebody in your car, if you teach a Bible study, if you help in nursery, Sunday school, if you clean the church, if you cut the grass, all of that is ministry, and all of that is needed. Lord, I just want to be a tree. The difference is the physical tree couldn't choose to be used of God or not. It just was used of God. We can choose yes or no. I've seen people step out of the will of God. Their ministry, their life, their family has never been the same. My prayer today is that every one of us would ask and answer the question, Lord, am I willing? Am I available? We sang the song, I hear your call. I'm busy right now. Or, Lord, I'm available. Do with me what you will. Use me where you will. I want to be involved in your kingdom. I want to reach the lost. No matter the cost, no matter the price. Because everything we do for God is not a sacrifice. If your desire is to support the mission, if your desire is to be the mission of reaching the lost, I'm going to ask you to do two things in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to give, and I'm going to ask you to go. I'll quantify what I mean by go, because I'm not about to take a missions trip, unless you guys want to, then we could talk to your pastor, we could set that up. But that's not exactly what I'm talking about. But I am talking about giving, and I'm talking about going. If you want to support the mission, and if you want to be the mission. I had a person tell me one time, they were probably in their late 60s, maybe early 70s in my local church in St. Louis, and they said, I don't do things in the church anymore. I gave my time. Now it's the young people, it's their turn to do stuff. I didn't say anything out of respect. I wanted to say a lot. I actually felt sorry for that person. I am going to be involved in the kingdom of God. I'm going to be doing things for the kingdom of God till there's no breath left in me. If I'm walking on crutches, if I'm in a wheelchair, if I'm on a walker, I'm going to be doing things for the kingdom of God. You're never too old to be a tree that God can use. And that's all he's looking for today. I want you to stand. If our musicians would come and help me. I'm going to segue real quick into Faith Promise. I'm tying that into what I'm talking about here. Because if we truly want to be a tree, if we truly want to be that instrument that God can use, then that involves everything about us, our giving, our going. It's all involved. It's not one or the other. It's all of that involved. And as your pastor said, Faith Promise takes giving to the level of faith. It's a different level because God's involved. The truth is, we can do nothing without him. And if we want God to get involved in our giving, it has to be beyond what we can do. Now, I don't This happened some years ago. I don't think I've shared it here. If I did, I'll share it again because probably new people need to hear it. So when my daughter was young and lived back home and she's getting her driver's license and wanting to drive, of course, she's like, Dad, are you going to buy me a car? Negative. I'm never buying you a car, ever. I told her that straight up. My wife can testify. I'm a mean man, I know. I'm a mean man. I'll never buy you a car. I said, what I will do, so that you have skin in the game, I will match what you save. So if you save $500, you're getting a $1,000 car. I bought my own car when I was 15. It was a used car. I actually wished I still had it, the 69 Chevy pickup. I do wish I still had it. Paid $600 for it. A lot of money in 1982. That was my first car. I sold it 6 months later and bought a brand new Ford Escort. Whew. Lasted all through high school, through Bible college. Totaled it about 2 weeks before I went on AIM. A drunk guy hit me, and so it all worked out, actually. It was pretty good. So I told my daughter, I'm never getting you a car. I'll match. If you save $5,000, you're getting a $10,000 car. So we're at General Conference, Brother Johns. You know what it's like in Global Mission Service, and there's always, everybody thinks it went off without a hitch and everything's great, but we know that there's 18 things happening in the background, and they missed that cue, and somebody didn't show up, and you don't know that they didn't show up because you don't know they were supposed to show up, but we know, and there's always stuff, and it's not uncommon for my coattail to be pulled or somebody to tap me or somebody to come over, and Brother Sladen, what about this? So we're sitting there, and it's the altar. People are moved, and I feel this, and I'm like, and my daughter is sitting by me, and she's weeping. She's just crying. She said, Dad, I want to give my money to I Am Global, my car money. I think she had about $1,500. I said, you can. I'm still not buying you a car. She said, that's okay, Dad. I want to give it to I Am Global. So she did. I didn't give it. I put it in her name. She gave the money. She got the tax credit. It wasn't me. It was her. She gave the money. A few months later, my wife's sister calls and says, hey, I'm getting a new car. I have a Toyota Corolla. Do you think Abigail would want my Corolla? Like, I think she would. Because she don't have any car money left. And it was kind of funny because when she got the car, went to register the car, she's like, taxes? What? I'm like, yes. She said, Dad, could I borrow money to pay the taxes? I'm like, sure. She paid me back. I'm a hard man. So I made her pay me back the taxes. I know, that's bad. That's bad of me. But God, for my daughter, she gave everything she had, and God provided just a few months later a car for her. I'm saying that to say when you let God get involved in your giving, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, it says they gave beyond their ability. How do you do beyond your ability? You only have so much. My bank account is this. I'm pretty sure I could try to give that, but That's called a hot check. That's called overdraft. I don't really think that's what God wants. It's not what God wants. But when we let God get involved in our giving, and as your pastor said, when he speaks that number, obey the Lord. You're not going to have a letter from me, oh, where's your money? You didn't send it in. That's not how faith promise works. You're not going to have me calling you, bugging you, oh, where's this money? You didn't send it to Global. Because it doesn't come to Global Missions. It stays here in the church. They pay things for Global Missions, But they use it for all kinds of stuff. That's the point of faith promise. It stays in the local church. But it gives you a fund to be able to do things with. Local, national, international, whatever. You have funds to use through faith promise. So my challenge to you today is to let God get involved in your giving. Beyond your ability, beyond what you can do, beyond just the stewardship and the budgeting, beyond the sacrifice, but let the Spirit of God become involved in your giving. Now, I believe God provides. Hear me out. I don't believe that you give and then, okay, it's about to come back. More money. This isn't like we're playing the stock market with God. That's not how this works. But I will say this. Just begin to think. How many doctor visits have I not had to make because God blessed me with health? How many car accidents? I don't even know that I was close. God protected me. God blesses us. We give financially. We invest in His kingdom. It's not just so that we get this back. Number one, we're blessing the kingdom of God. We're reaching the world. But God blesses us in so many different ways. So I'm going to ask you two things. I said give and go. The giving is the faith promise part. The going is this. I want you to think of one or two people. So I want you to focus on one or two people. That's it. Now, if you got a family, that's fine. But people that you're trying to reach, people that you're teaching a Bible study to, or you're trying to get a Bible study, or you've been witnessing, you've been talking, you've invited them to church, whatever that looks like, maybe they're in the middle of a Bible study, whatever that scenario looks like. The reason I want you to pick one or two, I want you to focus. I mean, I could pray that God saves everyone in Atlanta and the Atlanta Metro. I just prayed for everybody. I want to focus on names. God, I want you to reach this person. Not just reach them, but God, let me be the tree that they can see. Not my abilities, not how beautiful I am, not how talented I am, God, not even my failures, but let them see the fire of the Holy Spirit in my life that speaks to them. And they could say, I want to draw near to this great sight. And I want to see what's going on.
Heart, it is your desire to know me in a greater way. If you will give yourself unto me, then I, as your heavenly Father, will give unto you these things to make it available and you to prosper, to be able to do for the kingdom those things that I desire for you to do, says the Lord.
Let's lift our hands. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You are faithful. You are so good, God. So kind to us. Just a tree. It's all God's looking for, just a tree. Just that person that's next to someone else that he can use to reach them.